Entry number 3. Life logging in blank verse. Notes from a fictional self. Stegner fellow Kirsten Anderson imagines a life into poetry. Fellow Stegner and friend of the show, Liz Bradfield, interviews.
My father's second wife. Drinking egg creams, eating malt balls, she was solid Swedish stock, an athlete for the ages with a steak in her mouth, iron pills sized for cattle in her pockets. She called herself apprentice to the Protestant workhorses, but only our mother cleaned other people's houses. In Massachusetts, we moved to the speed of pure ambition. My brother and I were adrift on floating stones. Our grain-fed hearts bloomed red. We missed our mother, whose mind was overdrawn and bloodless. Gloria followed us around with the phone in her hands. She backpedaled toward the after-party, fed carrots to out-of-towners. In winter, she was seated in the sunroom, shrink-wrapping jellied fruit for her holiday display. She held her long hair back from the hot water in her teacup. She said to turn the heat up in the storm. Gloria on Gloria. I was the can kicker, wide strider, champion of girls, a head turner, rare expert on chicken breasts, fluent in the romance languages. I was the dumper, not the dumpee, head bird in the migration V, most famous of the unfamous. I knocked at the door of the world.
Do you think there's an age of self that's more interesting to write about?
I'm always fascinated by poems that gesture toward childhood because I feel like that's the moment in time when we are the most effective at being witness to things. Mm. So childhood, I guess, is the age that I could give you that would be the one where I feel really comfortable sitting down there and writing. Family court. Remember the beatings after the streetlights went out, the small change, the coffee cups, my Nikes kicked up on the bar stool. Remember the dog who was thrown down the stairs, the white veils in the wind at our first communion, the blood in the wine, the salt on the meat, and Gloria rolling joints on the changing table. Remember the ice cream, the ointments, the slow smile of our mother at the foot of the stairs, the split lip, the sirens, the Stevie Wonder. Remember the day they took us out from our house, the government papers they waved in her face and the low, paneled ceiling of the courtroom. Remember the broken chain hanging from the backyard swing, the chocolate cake she set down on the counter, the cool leaves beneath our feet in the fall. Remember that what we once were will always be in us, the dark rock pattern of our childhood, which is gold and coal and cannot be mined. Bad behavior. Years ago, I was granted a pass to participate in bad behavior. I was instructed by a short list of my mother's youngest boyfriends. They gave me paper and blade, red meat on a bone, taught me to pepper my beloved with bitter-ended questions. I think of all the men my mother packed away in ice, stored in sawdust, her shoeboxes stuffed with photographs, love letters marked with prehistoric dates. At the college, I sit behind the dean's desk and catalog quotations. Boys who are schooled privately begin to look at me, and I am always fearful, laying the groundwork to forestall eventually seeming a fool. Entire in my body, I am only myself, little pockets of a hometown hanging all along my bones.
It's an interesting relationship between the intimacy of the poems and the craft of making a poem, which is mm-hmm. just what you were talking about, mm-hmm. about how the truth becomes, at a certain point, in service to the poem itself. So do you ever find that your own perspective on that kernel changes through writing the poem?
I want to give like a really virtuous answer and say yes, but to be completely honest, it's so pleasing to me. It's always just, it's thrilling to isolate the kernel and to give a dramatic lighting. In terms of do I learn? Do I have a different point of view? Or, like, do I emerge with some sort of sense I didn't have before? I don't really. No. Work. I craft together half-truths in the life where I live like a rat, dumping bathroom soaps from the party into my over-the-shoulder purse after a full week of work in the finance district where I pretend to be the girl who can always be trusted. I translate the sealed interviews of the Argentinian bank tellers, and each week the district attorney is ushered to my door. A junior aide waves from behind a lacquered desk. It is my sign to call the caterers who roll their silver serving carts along the oriental rugs. I pocket what is left of the spread of turkey sandwiches, slip the gold-rimmed drinking glasses into my file drawers. I am invited to watch the World Cup with the businessmen from Brazil when Mr. Winter stands to wave me from my desk. He gives me a slow-motion wink and tells the men I'm a good worker. He moves to pat me on the back. Someone says I'm a good kid.
How do those poems engage you in particular? They seem, the ones you read are such a set. They're from such a time. So what is it about that place and space that keeps drawing you back?
That feels and continues to feel like the most relevant physical and emotional landscape for me as a poet. I haven't really learned how to write in the present just yet. I would love to figure that one out. But for me, the whole act is always me turning around and writing.
What else about these poems do you think you want to talk about, say, in relationship to the idea of seeing oneself change, or just in the relationship to the idea of poems as a record yet not record of self? I think that that's really interesting, because I think a lot of people who read The Eye will assume immediately that it is true. There's that sense of truth in poetry as soon as you get The Eye, that it's a very accurate, factually accurate versus emotionally accurate, which
right.
I think are two different definitions.
Yeah, I think you're completely right. But I just think that that's the only way that I know how to write about the self and myself and experiences, past experiences, is by creating a little bit of distance and a lot of fiction. It's also the only way I know how to do it interestingly. If I was just true right down to the last detail about things that I'm interested to write about and to read about, they would be really boring poems, you know. One lie. Tell me one lie. Any variation on how the loose bones of my face elude comparison, then bring the morning glories to my mouth. Praise my $9 blouse from the clothing chain store and take away my working boots. When I wear them, I am sitting at the receptionist desk while the accountants call my name. Outside are the oxidized domes of the Orthodox churches, the tin ceilings of Brooklyn, the female chandeliers. I never heard the buzzsaw racing us to this point, and for months it's been dust all around us, the bad taste of those words that always fill my mouth. Day dweller that I am, homebound and looking out the windows, sometimes I go so far as to plead with him. Say it, I beg. My legs crossed at the foot of the bed.